as Courtney said this morning, this is the fourth week of the God story. We're going through the whole Bible. We're doing the Old Testament over this period of time before the summer holidays. And then when the summer holidays pretty much come to an end, we're going to pick up with the New Testament. So it is a bit of a tour, a bit of a landscape of the Bible. So we are encouraging people to get hold of the book and to read the book, because every chapter could be several weeks worth of preaching. So I'm going to focus in on one section of one chapter today, which we're going to read in a moment. But as you can see on the screen, the title of today is The Birth of a Nation. The Birth of a Nation. And I'm going to particularly focus on this phrase: when God interrupts the ordinary. When God interrupts the ordinary. Last week, Sam spoke about the promise, the seed of promise, and how Abraham became the father of a nation. And through trust and obedience, he led his family that eventually grew into a nation of people. And what we discover in the book of Genesis through the life and story of Abraham is that that people became a people of purpose with a clearly defined identity. And the reason that I say that is because right from the very beginning in the Bible, from Adam and Eve through Abraham, through every major story of the Bible, and even through the church's history up until that to now, our identity is crucial to the move of God. If we don't know our identity, it will always create problems in our lives. And here we have a nation that not only knew their purpose, but they had a clearly defined identity. And then we come to the book of Exodus, just the second book in the Bible, a nation that 400 years later find themselves in Egypt. If you've read the story, and there's going to be a couple of slides come up in a moment, but you read the end part of Genesis and you read the story of Joseph and how he went in and he became a God's man for the hour in terms of feeding a nation through famine. And so the children of Israel end up in Egypt, and there is a new Pharaoh on the scene, and because of that, they now end up in slavery. The growth of this group of people is approximately 3 million people, all right? 3 million people. So it's a sizable group of people. And what you find is they'd lost their purpose, they'd lost their identity, and they were a confused bunch of refugees with no future, no freedom, and no hope. So here's going to come a couple of slides up just really quickly. I try not to give out too much information, but if you're reading this story, it just gives a little bit of context, okay? So 2000 before Christ, Abraham has a son called Isaac, born to Sarah in Genesis chapter 21. Isaac then has two sons called Esau and Jacob. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 25. And then Jacob later becomes Israel. God renames him Israel. And Israel, or Jacob, becomes the father of 12 sons and one daughter. That's a household and a half, isn't it? Okay, that's a football squad, that is. Okay, and they became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of those sons was Joseph. And 1800 BC, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. But in that beautiful, miraculous moment of God and provision, he saves Egypt and his whole nation, his whole family, from famine. And then we go on to the next one, where we go from Joseph to Moses, because that's where I'm going to focus today. The Israelites find themselves in Egypt. After Joseph, the Israelites multiply hugely and they become slaves in Exodus chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, Moses comes onto the scene. He is born into Egypt. All right, he's a Hebrew, but he is rescued by the princess of Egypt. And he is nurtured and he grows up in the courts of Pharaoh. And then he sees one of his fellow Hebrews being mistreated by an Egyptian, and anger rises up in him, and he kills the Egyptian, buries him, thinks he's got away with it, but he got seen doing it, so he runs away to a place called Midian, and that's where we're going to pick up the story, okay? Where God appears to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 in the burning bush. Before we read that portion of the Bible, I want to just ask us a couple of questions, and that is this. What happens when God interrupts your ordinary? What happens when God interrupts your ordinary? Have you ever had your life interrupted in a way that made no sense at the time? But looking back, it was the moment that everything changed for the good. Just a short testimony, personally, I can remember when Michelle and I had a very comfortable life living in the south of Essex. I had been a full-time youth worker for the church for 11/12 years. We'd seen God move incredibly with young people. Our youth group had grown to about 65 to 70 young people. We were discipling 16 to 18-year-olds who were then leading the younger group, and we were involved in about 13 to 16 schools. We were connecting with about 5,000 pupils a week, and I was leading this team. I was on a leadership team. Our son was with us. Michelle was happy at work. We'd got all our friends around us, and then in 1998, God spoke to me and said, I want you to move to Norfolk, or back to Norfolk, because this is where I come from. And I can remember, literally, in that moment, going to Michelle and said, I really feel God is calling us back to Norfolk. And she looked at me as the woman of God that she is, and she said, that's great, you can go on your own. We eventually moved back to Norfolk in the year 2000. It took us 2 years to transition. And I have to say, it was a moment where I felt like God had interrupted our very lovely lives. God had interrupted everything that was going on in our lives that was so beautiful with all our friends, and Jack had all these little playmates running around the church. And yet, when I look back, it was a moment where, if I'm honest, everything changed for the good. And why is that? I didn't realize it at the time, but the interruption of God was actually an invitation. Let me say that again. The interruption of God was actually his invitation. An invitation to something bigger, something harder and more challenging, and yet more meaningful than anything I had ever imagined. And I've got to be honest, as I look back on just over 20 years of leading the church here, it has been difficult at times. It has thrown some huge challenges into the path of both Michelle and I. But I look back over 20 years and I count it a joy to have been involved in leadership in this church, to make a new set of friends, to see people's lives changed, people saved, be involved in our community and in different countries of the earth. And I'm glad I'm here. Because the interruption of God in my ordinary life was his invitation to something more. What about you? Have you ever felt like life is just routine? You're going through the motions or the everyday. You're doing your job. You're raising your children. You're fulfilling your obligations. You're paying your bills. You're thinking about your next holiday. You're slowing down, heading for retirement. But something in you wonders if there is more. Have you ever sensed that God might be trying to get your attention? Have you ever dismissed that the stirring that you're feeling is just your imagination? But what if the thing that seems inconvenient is actually a call from Jesus on your life? What if God is waiting for you to turn aside like Moses, to stop, to notice, and to listen? So let's read Exodus chapter 3, shall we? Verses 1 to 12. The words are coming up on our screen. It says this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, which was also known as Sinai, to the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. That's a significant phrase. When God saw that he'd gone over to look, God chose to call to him within the bush. And he said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God says. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you, that when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Maybe God's interruption was God's invitation for Moses. Maybe here God is interrupting the ordinary. Here in this story is one of the most incredible encounters in the Bible. When God interrupts the ordinary, maybe rephrased, the ordinary ends when God begins. Let's set the scene. Moses is tending sheep. It's an ordinary day. He sees a bush on fire, but it doesn't burn up. He turns aside to look at it, and that's the moment that God speaks. So I want to focus around this whole phrase of God interrupting the ordinary just into two areas. Number one is this, coming up right now. God shows up in the ordinary. God shows up in the ordinary. It says there that Moses was tending the flock. Can I say something to us this morning? God often calls us not from the mountain, but from the mundane. Moses had had 40 years of the ordinary. He'd been looking after his father's sheep in the backside, the King James calls it the backside of the desert, all right? For 40 years, every day, every week, every month, he had obediently obeyed his father-in-law and took out the sheep, and he had led them as a shepherd. 40 years, four decades. Imagine what that might have looked like. Use your imagination, would you, just for a minute. Can I indulge you just to go with me in a moment of imagination? I'm going to be a storyteller here. Maybe on this day, the sun was setting over the hills, casting long shadows across the desert floor. Another day, just like the day before and the day before that. The ordinary, this is what I'm used to. Day in, day out, week in, week out. Moses moves along and amongst the sheep with ease. Everything is all so familiar. For 40 years, he had lived this quiet life, far from the palaces that he had known, far from people, and in his mind, far from purpose, or so he thought. And then it happened, a bush on fire. Not an unusual sight in the desert, but this one is not consumed. And he doesn't just walk towards a fire, but he crosses a life-changing threshold. Here he is standing at the foot of Mount Horeb, not having a clue that less than a year later he would be climbing the same mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. And a voice calls his name, "Moses, Moses." And he says, "Here I am." And in that moment of ordinariness, everything changes because God interrupts the ordinary. He wasn't standing in dust anymore. He was standing on holy ground. The staff in his hand that was used for guiding sheep would become a symbol of God's power. A speech impediment that he thought was a disqualifying factor would be used as God's voice. His obscurity, his hiding place, would become the platform for the miracles of his God. And here we have it. The ordinary is being interrupted by God. And so Moses stands in front of a bush on fire that's not being consumed. And so as Moses stands in this moment, he responds, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go?" And it leads me to my second point. God doesn't just show up in the ordinary. He calls the reluctant. God doesn't call the confident. He calls the willing. And he promises, "I will be with you." And so here we have a pair of reluctant feet standing on holy ground. Moses wasn't looking for a fresh mission. He wasn't praying for breakthrough. He was just working. And when God began to speak of deliverance of Egypt, of chains and plagues and liberation, Moses' confidence evaporated as quickly as the mist on a hot summer's morning. "Who am I? What if they don't believe me? I'm not eloquent. Please send somebody else." He had a list of reasons, a heart full of fear, a mouth slow to speak, a past buried in shame. But here's something to remember, church, today. God didn't ask Moses to be enough, just available. God didn't respond with compliments. He responded with presence. "I will be with you." Jesus came. Emmanuel, God is with us. And I want to say to us this morning, his presence is always enough. When God chooses to break into the ordinary and interrupt the ordinary, when God calls and tugs at the heartstrings of reluctant disciples, I want to say to us all this morning sitting here, he's not looking for the confident. He's not looking for the polished or the perfect. He's looking for the available. The whole God story is full of reluctant heroes. Gideon hides in a wine press, but he's called a mighty warrior. Jeremiah, too young to speak, is set apart as a prophet to the nations. Esther, just a girl in a palace, is placed for such a time as this. Peter, impulsive and ashamed, made into a rock on which the church would stand. You, unsure, unready, maybe even unwilling, and yet still chosen. So I want to ask you a question this morning, or a few. Is there a burning bush analogy that God might be using in your life right now? Are you too distracted to notice? Have you been sensing a calling from God but feel unqualified, just like Moses? As I was, you know, some Sundays when you preach, and I preach quite a lot, there are some Sundays where you feel like you carry a real weight in your heart more than other Sundays. I feel that a real weight of God's word in me this morning. Just want you to know that. And as I've been preparing and praying and meditating, this 40-year period of Moses being a shepherd in the ordinary of life, paying his bills, doing his thing, just day in, day out, week in, week out, year after year. You know, often people say you work approximately 40 years of your life, roughly, okay? maybe a bit more nowadays. But, you know, when I was growing up, you kind of worked 40 years, roughly, of your life. Maybe I just really felt God give me a word for, and I'm gonna bring a prophetic word to this age group in a moment, because I really feel God has given me a specific word for this generation. But I just really want to speak to those of you that are in your mid to late 50s into your early 60s. And we'll come back to that in a moment. I just really feel God's given me a word for anyone here who's in their mid to late 50s into their early 60s. I just feel God's spoken to me. But you know, so it is with us. God often calls us in the middle of the ordinary. God calls us to be those with a crazy love instead of a lazy love. When walking, God calls us in the walking down the road, in the driving to work, in the scrolling through our phones, in our daily reading, when praying. He meets us in what seems mundane and whispers something new, maybe something wild, maybe something holy. He doesn't wait for us to be impressive. He doesn't need us to be perfect. He just asks us to turn aside and go to the place of his presence and say to him, "Here I am." Because the call of God is not always to the comfortable or the expected. Sometimes it's to the impossible, to the deeper waters, to the place where you take your sandals off and your excuses fall away. You may think today, metaphorically, that you're just tending sheep, but God sees something else in you. Maybe he sees a deliverer. You may think you're in the wilderness, but God calls it preparation. You may think that your life is ordinary, but when he steps in, nothing is ordinary anymore. God doesn't wait for our confidence. He doesn't need our polish or our perfection. He just needs your yes. Even if it's whispered to you and you've got shaking hands, because he loves to take the reluctant and turn them into reformers. He calls the weak to show his strength. He uses the unqualified to silence the qualified. He sends shepherds to face pharaohs, and he walks with them every step of the way. If you're feeling reluctant, afraid, or unsure today, you're in good company. But remember this, God's calling was never about your ability. It was always about his presence. It was always about a Father in heaven saying, "I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I hold your hand. You don't have to worry." It was always about Emmanuel, God with us. In a few moments, we're going to take communion. But I just want to come in landing here to just say something to us all as a community. Imagine if we all said a reluctant yes. Imagine a Hope Church community where we don't ignore the stir of the Holy Spirit, where we listen, we say yes, and go where God sends us. Could we be the people of God to bring freedom to others? Could we be the people of reluctant obedience that be someone else's exodus? Are we willing for God to interrupt the ordinary? God did not interrupt Moses to ruin his life, but to use him to rewrite the story of a nation. Maybe that's what he wants to do for his church. It's great to take a group of ordinary people with all our spots and wrinkles and defects and find a reluctant group of people who will just dare to say yes and allow him to interrupt our ordinary lives that maybe will result in the reformation of a nation. Wouldn't that be good? That if God could find communities of fires of people all around our nation who says, "I'm not qualified, I'm not polished, I'm not perfect, but I am prepared to turn aside and see your presence and to look into your face. I'm prepared to allow your holiness to melt away my excuses. I'm prepared to allow my reluctant feet to stand on holy ground and say, 'Yes, Lord, to you, please interrupt my ordinary life so that I could be part of a company of people that could bring reformation and transformation to the community in which I live. Listen, church, God interrupts the ordinary. Moses was going about his ordinary life, tending sheep in the wilderness, when God interrupted him with a flame that didn't go out. God still does that today. Maybe not with a fire, but a quiet conviction or a burden that won't leave you. And so this morning, I want to finish by just asking those of us, if you're willing, that is, if you're in your roundabout, your mid, this is going to just like name everybody's age right now, okay? So somebody's going to be looking at me thinking, I thought you was only 30, Graham. Quiet. 70, Sam. How dare you? If you are in my generation, in your mid to late 50s into your early 60s, I'd like you to stand up if you would, please. Because I really feel God's given me a word. There's quite a lot of us, actually. There's quite a lot of us. Have a look, Sam, at how many people in this church are approaching retirement that you're going to be looking after in the next 10 years. Let me prophesy this word to you today. I've got 20 copies. If you want to take one away, feel free to. But as I've prayed today, I really feel... Michelle and I have had a bit of a tough season over the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm going to be really honest with you right now. I've had moments in the last 2 or 3 years where I have come close to just saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I'd rather run for the hills, cash in my pension, and clear off. That's how I felt. But you can't get away from the call of God on your life. You can't stop listening to the voice of God that keeps on interrupting your ordinary, even when it's crap. And this is the word that I feel for you guys standing on your feet today, all right? Do not retire. Refire. This is not the season to slow down, but to burn hotter, brighter, and more purposefully than ever before. I feel God is saying you've gathered wisdom through trial, scars that carry stories, and roots that have grown deep. Now is not the time to coast. Now is the time to pour out. You were never called to a lazy love that fades into comfort, but a crazy love that defies the culture of ease. The kingdom of God doesn't have a retirement age. Heaven still has assignments for you, critical ones. Some of the greatest exploits for the Lord are waiting on the other side of your yes in this next season. You've walked through fire, but now it's time to carry it. Let this be a challenging and commissioning moment in your life. Do not let the flame become a flicker. Do not allow stagnancy to feel like peace. Do not confuse rest with retreat. There is still a battle to fight, a people to love, and a harvest to bring in. The younger generation is watching you, not for perfection, but for endurance, for passion that doesn't fade. Be the example of what it looks like to run well until the end. I sense the Lord is saying, fan into flame the gift that is within you. Stir up what has grown quiet. I have not forgotten you. I have not finished with you. And if you will lean in at this moment, I will move through you with fresh oil. This is a time to mentor, to disciple, to speak truth without compromise. You're not disqualified by age, but you are qualified by obedience. So rise up again. Pray with boldness again. Dream again. Love radically again. This is not your end. This is your fire's second wind, says the Lord. Says the Lord. If you want a copy of that word, I'm very happy to give it to you. I just feel we just need to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Sam. The children are going to be coming in. But should we all stand just before we take this beautiful moment of the communion meal, just to pray. Come, Holy Spirit, this morning. And Lord, may we be those that turn aside and have a look at your presence. May we be those, Father, today that are being willing for you to interrupt our ordinary. Lord, may we have reluctant feet on holy ground and say yes to you. May we not shrink back into the safety of our cultural ease, but to be fueled by the fire of your Holy Spirit again. To use the scars that have happened, the burdens that we've carried, to allow you to move through us with a fresh oil that will enable us to be carriers of your fire into a community and nation that desperately needs you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.